Amen. The peace of Christ be with you, my friends. If you're joining us for the first time tonight, I want to orient you to what we're doing. We're working through the Apostles' Creed, one of the tried and true confessions of the church. And what we're trying to do is uncover and unlock the consequence of what we believe. What we believe as Christians. We believe that this creed is like a map that launches us into the expansive geography of hope, which is to say, the expansive life and witness of God. The creed is not meant to take the place of Scripture, but is a guide that helps us listen to the Scripture. And tonight, we're going to be listening to one part of the creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I'd like to dedicate this to a student who I think might need to hear this. I'll call her B for beloved. B came to see me at the beginning of the school year. And she had a rough summer. Indeed, she has had a rough life. Her mom passed away over the summer. And just about 2 to 3 weeks before school, she lost the kind of anchor in her life. Her dad's not really a part of the picture. We sat down and talked, and she said she was tired and confused and scared. And she didn't know enough Scripture to know actually where to go in the Bible to hear a word of encouragement. But she knew she needed it, and she knew she wanted it. And so, B, if you're here tonight, and I think that you are, I'd like you to hear this word from the Gospel of John that's going to help us listen to the creed tonight. I believe in the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to John 14, beginning in chapter 15. We might call this the Holy Spirit chapter. John 14 takes the place in what's called the Upper Room Discourse. This is Jesus' final conversation in the Gospel of John with his disciples before he's taken away and crucified by Pontius Pilate, and before the glory of the resurrection. Before all of that, Jesus has this to say to his disciples. And so I want to encourage you to lean in and to listen and to let these words groove into your soul like the finest music pressed into vinyl. Hear the word of the Lord as it comes from the Gospel of John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world does not know, because the world neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he abides with you and is in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to him. Now Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And he said to them, those who keep my words are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and we will come and make our home with them. Those who do not love me do not keep my words, and the words that you hear from me are not mine, but from the Father who sent me. I'm saying this to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. You have heard me say, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You have heard me say to you that I'm going away and that I am coming back to you. And if you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. Now, I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as my Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Arise, let us be on our way. This is the word of the Lord. The Creed points us into the expansive geography of the life of God. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God's only Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. Be the beloved. I believe in the Holy Spirit for you and for your life. For everyone here, I believe in the Holy Spirit. That is what the Apostle Creed says. I believe, which is another way of saying we believe in the church. We believe in the Holy Spirit. To speak of believing in the Holy Spirit is to speak of a mystery beyond the scope of our full understanding. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit goes by many names: the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of grace. Whatever name we call it, all these names point to a reality that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about a mystery that manifests itself in many dimensions, too complex for us to capture in words. The Holy Spirit, says John, blows where it wills, meaning the Spirit can never be reduced, cajoled, or manipulated by any man or woman. The Holy Spirit is the dynamic and creative power of the living God who hovered over creation and who had the muscle to turn away the stone. The Holy Spirit spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai and ministered to Jesus in the wilderness and is the means by which we receive the gifts and grace of God. And I believe that tonight, the Holy Spirit is the means by which the Almighty and everlasting God, creator of heaven and earth, speaks to us tonight, even in a still, small whisper. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And it's critical that we understand and explore the fullness, the importance, and the consequence of what we mean when we say this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:3 that it is impossible to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit, which is to say that if anyone here tonight confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, it means that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. It is impossible to claim the name of Jesus without the Spirit at work, tilling the soil of the soul. The Holy Spirit allows us to believe in the truth. And this truth is what points us into that expansive geography that sets our life free. The Holy Spirit is the one who testifies and convicts us of the truth. For the Spirit is the power of God as the Spirit of truth at work in our life. And ever since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been the most exciting and refreshing and exhilarating news that the world has ever heard. For when the Holy Spirit is here, so is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is here, so is the Father. The Spirit is the very presence of the living God among us. But what does it mean when we say we believe in the Holy Spirit? When I tell B, the beloved, to believe in the Holy Spirit, what are we saying in this creed? I think, first of all, it means that we believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Christians speak of the Holy Spirit as something more than an impersonal energy force, as if it was a character out of Star Wars, the Spirit be with you. The Holy Spirit is not an ethereal, impersonal, dynamic force. The Holy Spirit is the very person of the living God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the eternal Godhead, co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent with the Father and the Son. When Christians say we believe in the Holy Spirit, what they mean is that we believe that this Spirit is the person of God. There is one single God, one Lord over all things, but this God is in three persons, the Father, the Son, and lo, the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is there, so is the Son. And when the Son is there, so is the Father. There is one God who comes to us in three persons. It is the unique mystery of our faith. It is the consequence of a God that is utterly unknown unless that God is revealed to us. And that God is revealed to us in Christ through the power of the Spirit. And what does this person of the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Scripture talks about the Spirit leading us, bearing witness, coming to assistance, praying, healing, showing love, searching our hearts, knowing, teaching, giving gifts, deciding, empowering, refining, correcting, providing a word of wisdom, sharing fellowship, and above all, speaking. I believe in the Holy Spirit means that we believe in a person who can be known and who can speak, just like any person among us can, that we can know and we can have a relationship. We can have conversation. Knowing the person of the Holy Spirit is a paradigm-shifting reality, meaning it is a whole new way to understand and engage the living God. God is not distant, far away from us. God is a personal agent. God comes to us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to encounter and to be encountered by the Holy Spirit is to experience the very newness and power of God. It is to know the Father and the Son intimately. It is to join their life. To believe in the Holy Spirit is to believe in a person. That's the first thing of what it means. Here's the second thing of what it means. To believe in the Holy Spirit means to say that we have access to God's agent of power. The Holy Spirit is the power of God for those who believe. The resurrection touched the followers of Jesus with real power from the divine life. And this is a power that can transform the ordinary into the extraordinary. Without the Spirit, preaching is just words. Without the Spirit, the bread is just bread. Without the Spirit, the font is filled just with water, but with the Spirit, words become the very revelation of God. With the Spirit, water becomes the portal to new life. With the Spirit, the bread becomes the very presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. Through the Holy Spirit, the impossible becomes a possibility. The Holy Spirit does not just give us ethical principles. It gives us the very Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of freedom, the Spirit of fruitfulness, the very power and presence of the living God in our midst. The Holy Spirit activates God's power among us. And I believe that is what we need. We don't need more information. We need more revelation. We don't need more facts and ideas. What we need is more presence. What we need is more power, which is to say, what we need more than anything in our life is God. A wide range of scriptures speak of the Holy Spirit primarily as the power to work in humans. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit is a power that gives us life as first fruits or seal or pledge of a future glory. And this power of the Holy Spirit has the transformative power to change lives where the old is gone and the new has come. The reason why I love being a Christian is that this is not a religion, this is a revelation. And when that revelation encounters our life, we don't know more, we become more, where the old is gone and the new has come, where we become a new creation. John says it this way, to all those who believed in him, who called upon his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of any man, but of God. And the power to become a child of God is from God. And that power is the Holy Spirit at work in our life. It was true then when Jesus was speaking. It is true now. The Christian life and church exists by the very power and presence of the Holy Spirit. God is making all things new, including you and including me. And that's happening through the Holy Spirit. Now, there are two dangers to the Holy Spirit. One is that we can just utterly ignore this confession. It sounds just too strange and too weird. And we can believe that the Holy Spirit was just acted once upon a time back in the day early in the church. But to believe that is really to fly in the face of the biblical witness. One temptation is to ignore the Holy Spirit. Another temptation is to spiritualize it in such a way that it totally takes over and all that we can see is the Holy Spirit. That we have this profound encounter with the Holy Spirit. And then we get frustrated with other Christians that they don't have that same encounter, they don't talk in the same way, and the Holy Spirit then becomes a dividing edge in the body. On one level, we can ignore the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, we can become so preoccupied with it that we don't understand what the Holy Spirit function in our biblical life and community is for. The Holy Spirit is not there to bring division. The Holy Spirit is there to bring us unity. And so we need to pay close attention to what the Scriptures say about what the Holy Spirit is doing. What is its primary purpose? Which is why I love to listen to John, to turn my ears and to let Jesus' teaching about the Holy Spirit groove into my soul. And so, B, if you're here tonight, the beloved, I want you to listen to what John teaches us about the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit doesn't become something that divides us, nor does it become something that we ignore, but a reality that we live deeply into. What difference does it make to believe in the power and person of the Holy Spirit? I want to suggest three practical things for you, B, that I think makes a difference. First, the gift of the Holy Spirit allows us to have communion with God. The Holy Spirit is how we have communion with God, God the Father and God the Son, through God the Holy Spirit. In other words, through the Holy Spirit, we abide with union with Christ and participate in God's ongoing existence and witness and ministry of reconciliation. We cannot participate in God without God, and God's means for us to do that is the Holy Spirit. Listen to this from John. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and I in you, and you in me. And they who have my commandments are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. And how will he reveal himself to us? Jesus says this, those who keep my words are those who love me, and my Father will love them, and we will come and make our home in them. We will come and make our home in them. I mean, that is an audacious, bold claim. Jesus is saying that he is coming back after he leaves. He with the Father, and they will come and make a home with those who love him. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to come and allow us to have communion and participation in God's own life. And I believe this is transforming. God will make his home with us. And why is that practical? I think it's practical because it reveals to us the heart of what salvation means. Salvation is not something we wait for by and by. Salvation is something that can begin right now because salvation, by definition, is joining in the very life of God. And if we have the Holy Spirit and we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, then lo, we are joined into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right now. Our salvation begins right now. Now, through communion with God, this is the primary purpose of why the Holy Spirit is in the world, to bring us into communion with God the Father through God the Son. The Spirit is bringing us into communion with the living God. And this is utterly a unique claim among all the world religions. The Christian picture of God as triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, stands alone. Buddhism, Islam, Judaism all pay honor and respect to God or gods. God is an outside, distant deity, but doesn't have much to do with our daily life. God gives us codes of contact in which we follow, but mostly this God throws us back on ourselves, versus the triune God of grace doesn't throw us back on ourselves, but throws us back into God's own life. Through the gift of God, the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to have a do-it-yourself religion anymore. You don't have to be alone. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you, says Jesus. That is a unique claim. We do not have a religion, we have a revelation, and that revelation is Jesus Christ made known to us through the Holy Spirit, who is here tonight, speaking to us tonight, renewing us tonight, giving us new life tonight. Salvation begins tonight through the Holy Spirit. That is, I think, the first lesson of what the Holy Spirit does. Here's the second. The Holy Spirit is our teacher when Christ leaves. Again, the context of this, what we're hearing from John, is the upper room discourse. Jesus is about to leave his disciples, but before he leaves, he wants to give them encouragement that he will not abandon them. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. Though the world may not see me, you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and I in you, and you in me. We will have a relationship. We will be one together. I will not leave you orphaned. And more than that, when I come back, I'm going to send you somebody who's going to teach you. I'm saying this to you, says Jesus, while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us instruction when Jesus is gone. And this points to a special, unique relationship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. When Jesus is speaking, so is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is speaking, so is Jesus. The Spirit is there to testify and bear witness to what Jesus taught and said. Some theologians will call this work of the Holy Spirit an inner testimony. It means that we can open up the Bible and we can read along, and the Holy Spirit can be our guide. Will illuminate to us truth. The Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus to teach us what we need to know so that we might explore the expansive geography of hope. The Holy Spirit is the inner word speaking to us. Now, I want to give a word of caution. I don't want you to go to class tomorrow and tell your professors that says, you know what? Trigg told me I don't need to study. Trigger told me I didn't need to study for that test, because the Holy Spirit's my teacher. I don't need you. The inner witness is going to give me the answer on this bubble test. That is not what I'm saying. And if I get an email from a professor tomorrow, I'm going to be pissed. I am not suggesting to you that you don't need human teachers. What I'm suggesting to you is that the Holy Spirit will use our human teachers. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. But one of the ways the Holy Spirit is teaching us is utilizing the common and the ordinary. You see what I'm saying? We don't put our head in the sand and just say, the Holy Spirit's going to teach us. I don't need to think. I don't need to engage. The Holy Spirit is going to illuminate and alive, and you're here to get an education. That's why you're here. And what I'm suggesting to you is that you have many professors, but your greatest professor, your greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit, and it's active in our midst. Now, how do we know when it is the Holy Spirit and when is us? Not every experience or instinct or interpretation is from the Spirit. The Spirit works through the community, the body of the church, as it does through personal experiences. And we need the humility always to be discerning with Christ's body, the church, who has received and is empowered by the Spirit. And in this sense, we can understand the traditions of the church, like the Apostles' Creed, as a servant, not a master, but it's something to check out our interpretations. If you're wrestling with something, check it out in the body of the church and use the people who are listening to the Spirit. And that resource will help you listen to the Spirit. Again, you're not throwing back on yourself. You have a people. You have a place who are empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher. The first thing that the Holy Spirit does is bring us into communion with God. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And here's the third practical implication of what it means to believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. And there are many gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, including teaching and wisdom and knowledge and prophesying and miracles and healing and encouragement, the gifts of faith and hope and love. The God of the Holy Spirit is a God who comes to us and gives us gifts. And I want to draw our attention to one particular gift that I think that Jesus is highlighting before he leaves his disciples. And I think it is one of the most important. And it is one of the primary gifts of the Spirit. And when it is lacking, we know that the Holy Spirit, it's not the work of the Spirit. One of the best gifts that the Spirit gives us is the gift of peace, of shalom. Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." You don't have to be afraid anymore. The gift of the Holy Spirit, when it encounters us, gives us the gift of peace. And I need to hear this every single day, that I don't have to be afraid, that there is a God who gives differently than the world gives. The fundamental sign and wonder of the receiving gift of the communing, experiencing of God is a gift of peace, what the Hebrew scriptures call shalom. This is what we were made for. This is what we were created for. This is what we were redeemed for, to live in communion with peace with God. Peace means more than just a ceasefire between enemies. It means a full reconciliation with our neighbor and with God and with creation and with ourselves. To have peace is to have a life that embodies a wholeness, a body that it flourishes. We are given peace. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you, says Jesus. I don't give as the world gives. The world gives in such a way that we got to do more, we got to be more, we got to perform for our love. But that's not how Jesus gives to us. Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit that we might be enlivened and flourishing as a people of hope, a people of peace. If you have fear, this is not from the Holy Spirit. If you're plagued with anxiety, this is not God at work in you. If you have anger, this is not a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit does not give as the world gives. The world is always telling us to rely on ourselves. And this is what leads to our isolation and our fragmentation. But we are called to live in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not a self-help program. Self-improvement programs throw us back on ourselves, but the Holy Spirit throws us back on God. And if you're here tonight, I want you to lean into this truth that the Holy Spirit right now is giving you a gift. And it is the gift of peace. That you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to perform for love. That if you're tired and you're running on empty and you need a fresh start, you want to be a new creation, that power is possible for you right now and tonight. We're not talking about something abstract or a theory. We're talking about a living God who loves you. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe what Jesus says, that Jesus is even now asking the Father to send the Advocate, the Spirit of truth upon us, that we might experience that uniqueness and the freedom of peace, that you don't have to be afraid anymore at all. And if you're tired of living in fear and anxiety, then I want you to join with me and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to heal us, to set us free, that this college, at this place, at this moment in history, might embody the flourishing and the joy and the love of what happens when we believe and live into the consequence of the Holy Spirit. If you need a fresh start, I want you to just pray with me. If you're tired, I want you to just pray with me. If you know somebody who needs this, I want you to pray with me and pray on their behalf. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that tonight, Lord, you would send your Holy Spirit upon us. We ask that, Lord, you would give us this gift. You would ask the Father to send it upon us in power, this person, that the inner witness would teach us and speak to us of the love of Jesus, of the reality of Jesus. Lord, if there is anyone here tonight who is afraid, I ask that through the Holy Spirit, you would replace it with your peace. If anyone is anxious, Lord, I ask that you would give them a new gift that replaces anxiety and fear with new life of joy and hope, and above all, with love. Lord, we ask that you would mark this college, each person here, with your Holy Spirit, that we would live and be a sign of your kingdom into this world. Make it so in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen.